Hello and welcome to another episode of 90 Day Our Way. I am one half of your hosts. I'm John.
And I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay.
Thank you so much for joining us for another edition. We had another great episode. I feel like these are where things really start getting real, as they say. So these are kind of the best episodes, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it seems like there's a lot going on, a lot of wedding planning.
Yes.
A lot of drama with the wedding planning.
Always.
I will preface for all of our active listeners that me and John watched this episode separately. So we have not discussed this at all yet. So you're going to get like the real feel, real opinions. Like there's no discussion. I mean, there's like maybe 2 minutes of discussion this morning, so it should be a good episode.
Yeah, it's going to be raw. So a little different, but yeah, we had a little bit of everything, had some trips, had some wedding planning, some uncomfortable conversations with parents, some fighting, you know, a little bit of everything. It was fun.
It definitely feels like the pressure is mounting on all these couples now, and it's like, oh shit, we really do need to get married in 90 days.
Yeah, we got 60 days left.
So
you're in or you're out.
I think for at least two of these couples, I wrote, you are on 90 Day Fiance. Like, you are stuck in this 90 days. Like, hello. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, let's get into it. Who do you want to start with?
Let's start.
Oh, let's also say, this episode finally did not start with Bilal and Chyna.
Thank God. Oh, my God. Well, they were the first couple after the commercial, but
they didn't start the episode with them. So just wanted to point that out.
Thank God. I feel like this entire season has been Bilal and Chyna. And then, like,
they're the most featured.
Yeah. And then, like, we were just saying off the air that, like, Kara and Guillermo get like one scene per episode. Like, I feel like they shouldn't even be on the show anymore.
It's crazy. But yeah, who do you want to start us with?
Well, why don't we start with the couple that did kick us off this episode, which is Emily and Kobe.
All right. Going for some rock formations.
Rock City, baby.
So the first thing that I had, is that we now know that the $10,000 for the wedding? Yeah, that's what Emily's dad said he was giving to them.
Oh, I did not pay attention to that at all. I just thought they like, I thought they just agreed that they were giving her money for the wedding.
Yeah, 10 G's.
Wow, I did not pick that up. I will say that half of this episode I watched with a really shitty JetBlue Wi-Fi, so I might have mixed some stuff. Yeah. Don't get me started right now.
That JetBlue?
At JetBlue. But still sponsor me because we have over 100,000 points and like we want to go places. So thanks.
But yeah, so $10,000 for the wedding. So Kobe was saying how he wants to save the money so that they can move out of the parents' house, which I totally agree with.
Yeah, what I wrote is like she wants to spend money on the wedding, but it's starting to hit Kobe that they really do need to conserve this money.
Yeah, exactly.
And she just, to her parents' point, or I think her mom said it, like, she beats to her own drummer.
Yeah.
Like, she's just very a wild child, and it's pretty obvious, so.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So then we get to, they're in the car driving to Rock City.
Yeah, so Kobe wants to get away from her family a little, and Emily's pumped to go to Rock City, which is literally what it is.
It's just rocks.
It's a bunch of rocks.
And Kobe just says, Americans are fucking crazy, man. And he's not wrong.
Literally, I wrote, Kobe is like, what the fuck is going on?
It's, yeah, I mean, hey, whatever you're into, I guess.
I feel like they should have brought the baby with them. I feel like Coben would have enjoyed the rocks. Like, I feel like that's what it's for, like family fun days. But I don't know. And then she makes him crawl into this hole in a rock.
It's just awkward.
It's very strange.
Yeah, I wasn't really into Rock City, personally.
I just don't understand. Like, I get they wanted to escape and, like, get out of the house or whatever. Yeah. But, like, I feel like she probably hyped this stuff up so much.
Oh, for sure.
And Kobe was like, this is America. Like, okay.
What is this? Where am I? But yeah, so we have that, and then we get to the next part when Emily goes dress shopping with her mom, sister, and grandmother.
Yeah, so, okay, so they get out of the car, and grandma's wearing a mask, and I was like, thank God. And I was like, the rest of them are wearing masks. I'm like, great job, guys. Soon as they get in the store, the masks are off. So I was like, all right, we're just trying to kill grandma at this point. Like, solid. Because you know that Emily is not vaccinated. You know this already. But yeah, she tries on wedding dresses and they're all over the top as usual. Like the tits are out. She's loud. She's talking about all her drama. It's just typical. That,
like, weird coat thing too. She like put on over the dress.
I get it. Like, I guess they're getting married in like the cold months. So yeah. I would guess like November of last year or something. But the dress she picked out was gorgeous on her. I agree with that. But then she put the coat on, and I was just like, no. What,
yeah, what's going on here?
And I wrote, her mom looks perplexed by her.
Yeah, it feels like she's not, like, their child.
No, exactly. That's what I wrote. Like, it's her daughter. Like, I feel like her parents talk so much shit about her. But yeah, this goes back to last week when we were talking how, like, I feel like her parents resent her a lot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's just a strange relationship.
Yeah, most definitely. But, yeah, so she's trying on all the dresses and everything, and then she pulls out the ring.
The ring that she bought herself, because Kobe has not bought her a quote-unquote real ring.
Yeah, so she had to buy herself a ring, one that she liked. Yeah. And Kobe is not even aware of this.
No. And, like, the fact is that it looks like next episode, and we'll talk about this a little later, that Kobe finally does buy her a ring.
Yeah, so now what are you going to do? You're just going to have two of them? You're going to wear them on either hand? You're going to bring this one back?
Like, and, like, you're supposed to be conserving money, or, like, that's what Kobe wants. So, I don't know. I think my favorite part of the whole dress shopping scene was her sister just pretty much telling the world that, like, she feels bad for Kobe for the way that, like, Emily treats everyone.
Which, totally agree with.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I was like, damn, at least someone else sees it that, like, lives in their own house.
Right. No, 100%. But yeah, that was pretty much all for them. Not too much to write home about for the two of them this week, at least.
Yeah, it strangely started the episode, but then there was, like, no other.
Yeah, like, that was it. For them. It was just, like, that quick little snippet. That was pretty much it.
I'm interested, though, to see, like, their actual wedding, if they do get married.
Yeah, which I agree.
I'm sure they do, because
I think they will.
Well, she's going to control everything, so.
Obviously, Bridezilla.
Oh, my God. Bridezilla, more like everydayzilla. She's just terrible.
Not wrong. Who would you like to move on to next?
Okay, well, I decided that we're going to talk about Ari and Binny last because we need to talk about this fight. Okay. So that's what, like, I don't care. You can pick.
All right, let's head over to everyone's favorite.
I knew you were going to pick them. Jabri and Miona.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to pick them, but let's go there.
Oh, okay. Or were you going to pick Bilal and Shida?
But we'll go to Jabri first. We'll go to Jabri and Miona.
Okay. Real talk. I actually like Jabri.
I'm starting to like him more, but yes. I'm still not, like, about it.
I still think, like, everything's pretty fake.
Yeah. He just needs to, like, make decisions and not put himself in the middle of everything and just, like, figure it out.
Yeah. Like, he's really trying to appease everyone, and it's just, like, I mean, he said multiple times during their segments, he's like, I'm just going to marry the music. And it's like, obviously, that's really what you want to do. So, like, go, like, fuck everyone and go do it.
Yeah, you can obviously tell that's, like, what's really important to him.
Yeah, but I don't know. All of their scenes were just, like, a lot for me this episode. And I genuinely felt bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, we start off with him talking to his parents, and they say how they're not going to go to the wedding.
Yeah, so, okay, so he meets up with them at a coffee shop.
Yes.
Which, like, before he even said it, I was like, don't they have coffee at home? Like, they live in the same house. So then we find out that, like, they purposely met at a coffee shop because they didn't want to talk in front of Miona or right. when Miona was in the house. And they are not thrilled to be speaking about this with Jabri. But I will say the line of that scene was when Jabri's dad, Brian, says that they should have a prairie wedding.
Little House on the Prairie.
I didn't even know how to spell prairie, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, with Jabri and me.
What a show that would be, huh? Jeez.
Oh, my God. So, they all agree that, like, they're getting married in a month.
Yep.
And then Jabri's like, oh, well, we're having a beach wedding. And it's like, bro, you weren't going to tell anyone you're having a beach wedding? Like...
Yeah, I mean, come on. They're going to know eventually. You might as well just tell them, like, now.
Yeah, and then he gets all upset because his mom and his dad are like, we don't think we can go. Like, it's literally in a month. Like, we don't know. And that sets off a whole nother storm.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's lack of planning. We're not going to go. Like, all this stuff. So Jabri gets super upset about it, which is understandable.
Yeah, exactly. And from the first episode, we learned that, like, Jabri was raised by his mom, like, by herself until Brian came into their lives. So, obviously, they mean a whole lot to him. But, you know, they say that Jabri looks stressed and he looks overwhelmed and, you know, he really needs to choose what he wants to do.
Yeah, most definitely. And at the same time, he feels like he constantly has to pick between Miona and his family.
Yeah. But, okay, have you felt like you've missed, like, a few chapters in their story? Or is that just me?
I don't know.
Like,
not really.
I feel like they're talking about, like, all this drama with Miona and, like, walking on eggshells around her and stuff. And I'm like, the only, like, scene we ever got was the laundry scene. So I'm like, what else is going on that's not being filmed or that didn't make the cut?
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they're in the house all the time, so, like, who knows what could be going on.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I literally wrote, like, I feel like I missed a few chapters for this first scene and then also the scene with just him and Miona.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I feel like I'm missing something that is not being shown.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's a chapter missing or, you know, something that's not adding up.
Yeah.
But then we also have Jabri's mom telling him that she doesn't believe that Miona brings out the best of it in him and they wouldn't be getting married if it wasn't for the 90 days.
Which then Jabri agrees with.
Yeah, so it's like, dude, like, if you're agreeing with that, why are you going and doing the other thing?
If you watch the show, like, Miona is not a good influence on Jabri at all. Like, she doesn't want him to do anything that he wants to do.
Yeah, it's all about her and, like, what she wants to do and, like, how can he like, better her.
Yeah, exactly. And so, so at one point, Jabri's dad, Brian, goes, oh, well, like, if you can, like, postpone it, like, maybe in 6 months get married. And all I wrote is, they can't postpone it. It's called 90 Day Fiancé, not 6 months Fiancé. Like, they need to get married. She's here.
Yeah, like, this is it.
Like,
it's do or die.
Literally. I mean, a couple seasons ago with Mike and Natalie, my absolute favorite couple ever, saying sarcastically, like, Mike wanted to postpone their wedding, like, the day her visa was up. And an immigration lawyer was like, no, you literally can't do that. She will be here illegally.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't do that. Like, you need to get married. Those are the rules of the K-1 visa.
Or ICE is going to come knocking on your door.
For real. And, I mean, with her, like, they probably think she's not her race. So, they definitely would get rid of her.
But yeah, that's kind of like their first thing. And then we get to Jabri and Miona together when he's like telling her about the conversation and everything. But the first thing is, can they just stop with matching outfits? Like, they need to wear their own stuff.
They need to just like be their own people. I feel like they're the same person, but just like split.
It's just like insane. Like, why you're wearing a white shirt with the black coat and the black pants? But why can't the other person wear something else?
It was the same day, right? Because he was wearing the turtleneck.
The white turtleneck, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
With the black coat.
I was making sure. But, I mean, she looks like she's totally blackfishing again. Like, she is not naturally that color at all. Like, her lips are overlined to the max. Yeah, those are wild. They're so bad. Like, so, and she wants to be a makeup artist. Like, I don't know. I will say before I get into Miona, like, the last thing about talking with his parents is, like, his mom, Mahala, says, like, she wants Jabri to find someone who brings out the best for him. And, like, obviously, Miona's not it. And, like, Jabri even admits, like, his parents know him the best. And they can tell that he's not happy. So, it's like, why are you even with this girl? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like there's no happiness that, like, comes from him. With him being with her.
He just seems so stressed all the time. And
yeah,
he was,
100%.
He was even stressed before she came to America because she was like, I don't want to live with your parents. I don't want to live here. I want to have a beach wedding. Blah, 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 blah. So they finally meet up. They go to a park.
Very nice park.
It's not Rock City, though.
It's not Rock City.
And Jabri tells Miona about, like, his conversation with his parents, and she just rolls her eyes.
Yeah. It's like, obviously, his parents are saying, like, they're worried about him. Like, parents are always going to be worried about their kids, like, regardless.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, if you really loved and, like, supported this guy, you could probably see, like, the anguish on his face, and, like, her first response is to roll her eyes.
And then she's like, oh, I don't care if they don't come to the wedding.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, that's your mother and father-in-law. Like, oh, yeah, I don't care if they're there or not.
It's crazy. And then, like, one thing that I wrote down is, like, Miona says at one point, like, oh, like, well, his parents, like, don't provide us support. And I was like, really? You live in their house rent-free. They're feeding you. You have this brand new CRV, which, like, God knows how you guys are paying for it. So I'm sure his parents are. So it's like, what do you mean you're not getting support?
Now, like, cash the TLC checks early.
Oh, please. Well, yeah. Well, okay, I know you stay away from all the social media stuff, but, like, I would say this is, like, a month or two ago. He sold, you know, those split pants he had? He sold those at an auction for $25,000.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Who would pay that?
I don't know. It was, like, some, like, YouTube investor guy, but, like, that's their whole spiel. So I'm like, that's why I don't believe a lot of this, because that's like,
fair.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a side note. but, and then, like, Miona says, so this is where it comes in that, like, I feel like I've missed a few chapters, because Miona says again, like, oh, like, well, they're always making comments about me and stuff. And I'm like, literally the only conversation we've seen is the laundry scene.
Yeah, haven't seen anything else or, like, any other blow-ups or any other arguments or, like, tough conversations, really.
And like, if, like, Miona's upset about the whole making the bag chicken Alfredo, like, you deserve those comments. Like, that shit was nasty.
Yeah, that shit's gross. Like, you gotta make some actual food or, like, figure it out and... Or even if you're not, you know, making dinner every night, like, do it, you know, a couple times a week and do the dishes or something, like.
Yeah, like, I don't know. To me, if you're living in a house rent-free, like, you should be picking up the slack a little bit.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And then they continue their conversation, and it seems like there's a lot of, like, animosity going on. And Jabri even mentions that he's not going to continue... Like, he won't continue their relationship if things don't change between, like, his parents and Miona and things get better. Like, he doesn't want to even continue.
Yeah, and he says twice that the things she's saying are red flags.
Yeah.
And it's like, you really want to marry this woman then? Like, if you're noticing these red flags.
Already?
Yeah. In the 45 days that you've been together, like, in America. And Jabri like brings up the point of postponing the wedding. Yep. And you know that like his parents brought it up or whatever, and Miona says that she would leave his ass.
Yeah, she would leave and go back to Serbia.
And it's like, so go. So the last thing I wrote was, she sucks.
Not wrong.
I don't know. Like I said, he's growing on me, Jabri is, but I also know that like they're still together. So it's just like, I don't know if this was real.
Yeah, I feel like he's just one of these, like, this might come off, like, weird, but, like, one of these, like, people pleasers.
Where, yes, like, 100%.
He's doing everything to, like, make sure that, like, nobody else is, like, pissed off or, like, angry or mad, like, with him. But then, like, he takes it all in and, like, absorbs all of it. And then he has, like, these crazy blow-ups every once in a while. It's like, if you actually just had, like, these conversations, like, regularly, you wouldn't be having this these huge blow-ups and, like, feeling the way you feel all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely feel sympathy for him because I personally am very much like that. I'm a big people pleaser. I always want to make other people happy. I internalize a lot of stuff. So, like, I feel bad for him because I know how it feels for kind of not being... I've never really been stuck in the middle. I mean, I have with my parents, but shout out to my mom who's listening. But like, I've never had that feeling of like I had to choose my significant other over everything else,
right?
So it's like, I feel bad for him, I truly do, but at the end of the day, like, I do know he chooses Miona, so like, I don't feel that bad for him.
Yeah, like, he's gotta step it up and figure it out. And I mean, if I was him and no one's getting along, like, I would just be like, all right, I'm going to be by myself and do my own thing.
But this is my whole thing. Like, she's starting issues with him and his parents, him and his best friend, him and his career.
Yeah.
Like,
they're all red flags. It's isolation.
There's nothing else, like, that you have, literally.
Yeah.
So it's like, you two are just going to be by yourself and sell your ripped jeans for $25,000. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, very, very strange.
I don't know. But I'll tell you offline. Never mind. It's a big spoiler, and I don't know if you want to hear it.
No spoilers here. No spoilers.
All right. I already, like, spoiled. But literally, if you look at their Instagram, like, yeah, you know they're together, so I don't feel like I'm spoiling it that much.
No, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Who do you want to go to next?
Well, let's go to my other favorite person.
Oh, Bilal. So they go to Atlanta to visit Bilal's sister.
Yes, the sister that helped him set up Shida in that shitty ass house.
Oh, yeah, it was there. Yeah. It was. Great point. So, yeah, they get there. I believe it's Friday because Bilal is going to Juma.
Yeah, so, okay, this is what I didn't... But this is what I didn't understand. So he's like, oh, you guys are going to go, like, dress shopping, and I'm going to go to Juma. Yeah. But didn't Bilal, like, an episode or two ago get super pissed at Shida for not going to Juma? But now it's like, she doesn't have to go with his sister?
Yeah, I didn't even catch that.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah, that's, I didn't even think of that.
Holes in their storyline. I see you, TLC.
But yeah, so Shida goes dress shopping with her, and she says how she's finally feeling like a bride, but she's really upset and sad that her mom can't be with her.
Yeah, I felt which bad. Makes sense. Like, she was getting really upset. But then wasn't Bilal's sister was like, well, she's not dead.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? She can still be upset her mom can't be there. Like, yeah, the hell. But Shida said that her and Nefertari?
I'm going to say that's correct.
Okay, yeah. That they've become, like, very close and talk on the phone all the time, and that, like, she feels like it's her older sister since her real older sisters aren't in the States or anything like that. But can I say that the first dress she tried on, or I think the only dress she tried on, was disgusting? Like, it did not look good on her at all. And everyone was like, oh, it looks so good on you. And I was like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, but you have to say that. You can't be like, no, that looks bad.
Yes, you can. Why would you lie to a bride like that? I just got really loud. I'm so sorry to anyone listening with headphones on. Yes, you can. I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah, so she's...
Not in that situation. I don't know.
You probably never be. And if we get, whenever we get married, if you're like, yo, that dress is ugly as fuck, I'm gonna be so mad. But anyway, so then Shida brings up to his sister that Bilal always needs to win and that he always lectures her. And then Bilal's sister's like, well, I've never seen him act that way.
It's like, come on.
Yes, you're lying. You're lying.
You grew up with him.
There's no way you've never seen him act like that.
Is this just something that came out of the blue the last 6 months?
Yeah, like, there's no way. I bet you always been that way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's like a born thing.
Yeah.
That's not just like a random behavior.
I don't know. I was like, you're lying. And,
no, but then she also tells the sister that she's not going to move forward with Bilal if he doesn't agree to have children. It's like, whoa, just dropping the hammer right there.
I was like, why are we telling? Because you know Bilal's sister is just going to go and tell him. But it's not like he cares off of the other scenes that have been happening. But yeah, I was just like, I still don't understand why this conversation is dragging on.
Yeah.
Like, it's either you're having kids and you're getting married, or you're not having kids and you're not getting married.
Yeah. I mean, they got to have some sort of drama, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then, that's their drama, besides him being, like, a total asshole. and I said, like, his sister thinks he has concerns about, like, moving on with his life. So, like, she thinks that he does want kids, but he's, like, still thinking about his previous life with his previous marriage and his kids and his current kids and all that stuff. And then we find out that Shida has been engaged twice.
Yeah. I thought it was once.
I thought it was once, too.
Yeah. So, I guess now it's twice?
Yeah. But, like, why has this never come up?
Yeah. So, like, what's going on there?
Yeah. It's interesting. So, that scene ends. And then Bilal is back. Thank the Lord.
Woo! We go on another weird date.
Mr. Romantic is what she calls. Sorry, I'm screaming today because I'm very passionate about Bilal. Mr. Romantic.
Yeah, they're going on the Ferris wheel to see the city of Atlanta.
But he brings her on a Ferris wheel thinking like, oh, this is a great date with a glass bottom and she's terrified of heights.
Did we know she was terrified of heights, though?
I don't think we knew, but he's engaged to her. I would hope he would know.
Yeah, no, that's true. I don't know. Yeah, he probably knew. I don't know. Trying to mess things up a little bit, I guess.
I don't know. I couldn't get over that. It was like, oh, I'm this romantic date. And Shida calls me Mr. Romantic. Let me take her on a Ferris wheel and scare the shit out of her.
But no, so they're on the Ferris wheel, and then, like, out of the blue, he, like, looks at his phone, and he's like, oh, we got an email.
And that was so weird.
Like, he's like, oh, yeah, it's the marriage contract.
Like, it was just so, he was like, well, to take your mind off of the heights, here's the prenup.
Yeah, but he didn't even say that. He was just like, oh, it's a marriage contract. And it was like, nah, dude, it's a prenup. Like, just tell her what it is.
I wrote, like, pick another time.
Yeah, it's not the time and place.
At all.
You're on a date.
You're trying to comfort your fiance.
Yeah.
When she's terrified of heights. And you think that bringing up a marriage contract, aka a prenuptial agreement, is going to take her mind off of everything.
Yeah, it was just an idiotic move.
It really
is. Like, all the way around.
It really was. And then, so then they get off the Ferris wheel, and Mr. Romantic has another plan.
Well, also, when they're on the Ferris wheel, though, he's saying how, like, the marriage is a business.
Oh, that's when that happened? I wasn't sure. Okay.
Yeah, so he's saying, like, oh, marriage is a business, and, like, you have to sign all this stuff, so I'm just, like, covering everything, so, like, we make sure, like, everything is signed, like, you have to get a marriage license and do all this, like, that's how it's done here in America.
So that was my whole thing, like, if he thinks marriage is a business, well, so he says marriage is a business, and he's like, and Shida thinks it's all Saul, like, love, and that's all it's based off of. Isn't that what marriage is supposed to be based off of? Like,
yeah, but I think what he was saying is, like, not like the marriage between them, like their love. I think he meant like the whole aspect of marriage, like the actual wedding and filling out the paperwork and all that stuff, like you have to pay for. So, like, what marriage as a whole, like, people have businesses to profit off of that.
I don't think that's what he meant at all. I see how you're trying to...
I'm not trying to defend him. I'm just saying,
you're not trying to defend him.
I think that's what he was saying, but didn't say it properly.
So I don't believe that. I like the spin. I do like the spin. I appreciate a good spin. I think in my mind, how I took it is that it's a business between two people that are coming together and exchanging stuff for goods.
But I think if that was the case, and, like, no offense to Shida, he wouldn't be with her. Like, if that was the case, he would have just gone and found, like, some rich person and been like, oh, let's bring all of our assets together.
But, okay. I can see it. My mind is like spaghetti right now. I can see it.
Like how they do.
See, but that's in, like, not middle... how I took it.
Yeah.
I didn't take it as like that marriage is a capitalistic.
Yeah. Right.
Capitalism. Like, whatever. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, we got you.
We talked. I took it more as like, this is a contract you're signing to, like, exchange goods and services.
Yeah, but to that point, then why would he ever sign a prenup where he's protecting all of his stuff and not gaining any of hers?
I don't know. Ask him. Huh? You're right.
I'm just saying.
No, I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. Yeah. That's just not how I interpreted
it. Got you. Yeah. No, I don't think there's any right or wrong way to interpret it.
No, I'm right and you're wrong. I'm blah, 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 blah. Sorry.
No, it's just like the business thing is like, you know, in other countries, they're like, oh, you run oil, I run hotels. Let's marry.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
You have this factory, I have these factories. Oh, let's, you know, have our children marry.
Well,
like, that's how I think of, like, business marriage.
Okay, well, if you actually think of marriage, you're exchanging goods and service. You're exchanging money for sex at this point. And, like, a life with this person. But, like, honestly, what's the difference between marriage and prostitution?
That's a conversation for another
Makes
day.
Makes you think, anyway.
That's a conversation for another day. But, yeah, no, I just thought, and then they're, like, looking through the contract, and she's like,
are they on the horse at this point?
They might be. Oh, but the other thing that irritated me about him was he was, like, trying to use the religion to, like, justify the prenup.
I didn't catch this.
He was, like, saying how, like, oh, well, in the book, like, it says this, and, like, this is why we're doing it. And it's, like, anyone that uses, like, religion to justify their selfish actions, like, just go F yourself.
Yeah, I hate that shit. I mean, that's, like, what the United States is predicated on, but, like, I agree, and I remember him saying, like, oh, well, they did that, like, that ceremony, that, like, religious,
yeah,
like, marriage, essentially, exactly, when they were in Trinidad, and he's like, well, that's all based off of love, but, like, this is a contract kind of thing, and it's like, bro, there should be no difference whether you, like, get religiously married or you go to a courthouse, like, you're still getting married. It should be based off love, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're signing paperwork and it's being recognized by the state.
Yeah, and obviously...
regardless as to how you do it.
And obviously he was doing that, what you just said about, like, how he's saying, like, in the Quran or whatever, like, yeah, that it says this. Like, he's obviously using that against her because she's very religious.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's just fucked up. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the worst. Him but, and Miona should be together.
Oh, God, no. Gross. Could be your father.
Yeah.
But no, but then, like you were saying, you know, they get on the horse and carriage ride now.
Which I could not roll my eyes harder this morning when I watched it. Like, first of all, those horse and carriage rides are, like, so, like, inhumane to the horses. It's terrible. And then the fact that, like, they get on and he just brings up the prenup again.
Yeah. So they look at it, and Shad is, like, looking at it, and she mentions how she doesn't see anything about, like, future children in there or, like, taking care of her.
Yeah. And that
she feels that, like, Bilal doesn't trust her 100%.
Yeah. So what I wrote is, OMG, now the kids convo again. Because it's like,
yeah, it all circles back.
Because I guess in this prenuptial agreement, there's nothing where it says, like, if they have children together, like, they would attain any of his assets or anything. Like, there's nothing written like that. So that's her main concern, it sounds like. Like, I honestly don't feel like she's a gold digger at all, especially after the whole family house drama thing. But it's just weird to me that it all comes back to the kids.
Can I also say, though, to that first point?
What? I knew this was going to come
up. So he asks, God forbid we don't work out, would you take everything? And she doesn't answer. It's dead silence.
Okay, but we don't know if she doesn't answer. We just know that 90 Day Fiance, or sorry, TLC and Matt Sharp are very good at editing.
Okay, no, that's fair. That's fair.
I know it's fair. But
what we are consuming is that she doesn't answer.
Yes, but we're also consuming this drama of a television show.
Right. No, I'm not. I don't disagree. I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you, but
yeah. From my perspective, I don't think she is either, but I'm just saying that's the way, like, they positioned it.
But I do agree with you on what we talked about off air, how, like, if someone doesn't want to sign a prenup, there's obviously something that's a little shady.
Yeah, there's something, like, fishy going on.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I really don't want them to get married. Like, at all. I think she's just way too good for him. And she looked gorgeous on the Ferris wheel. And then you have this, like, doofy-looking guy just like, I want a prenup.
Anything else from them? Oh, can I also just say, yeah, I love how every single time Shida calls it prenuptial agreement. Like, the whole time she's saying the full thing, prenuptial agreement.
I mean, like, she's very proper.
Just call it a prenup.
That's just us Americans not knowing what a prenup is. We're like, a what? I do love her little Trini accent. I think it's really cute. I just love her. Yeah. I just think she's so, like, way too good for him. And I cannot stand him.
Fair enough.
I will say, it does seem like they just recorded the tell-all, by the way, because he posted a picture in New York, so we'll see what happens.
Lovely.
I think Sean Robinson should call us up, and we should have went to the tell-all. But
little insider info.
Yeah, I'll take that up with TLC.
All right, anything else from them, or are you good? You think you got it all out?
I hope... Do I ever get it all out with Bilal?
I don't know.
All right, let's go on to...
I want to go to Kata and Guillermo, yeah, since they are pretty quick.
Yeah. Which, again, they only have one scene this episode, and we only get Guillermo for, like, 0.2 seconds.
Yeah, so Kata's going to visit her friend Tim. And can I just say, Tim, shave the mustache, my guy. That thing was nasty.
Yeah, Tim.
It was not, like, well-groomed. It was nasty. It was a caterpillar.
Tim is, like, trying to be hipster, and it's just not working, babe. Like,
yeah,
it's time to grow up.
Yeah. It was just a little awkward.
So yeah, she is going to meet Tim, and Guillermo didn't want to go, so she didn't force him, which, like, thank God she learned from last episode. And Guillermo is doing laundry and wiping up the washing machine.
It was so funny to watch him, like, try to do the laundry.
I love him so much. He's just, like, he's, like, flirting with the washing machine and, like, saying how, like, he's gonna wipe it up and everything. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, he's just, like, such a nice guy.
For real. Oh, love him. So we go back to Kara and Tim. And
they're talking about their relationship.
Yeah, they're doing tequila shots at lunch.
Fire.
Classy. And Tim asked Kara if she's working, and she's like, yeah, I'm in real estate, but I haven't sold a house yet. Girl, have you been in this market? It's not that hard to sell a house right now.
Like, well, today it might be, but a year ago, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, now, like, with rates and stuff, but, like, a year ago, when we bought our house.
When they were filming.
Yeah, it wasn't that hard to sell a house.
It was like, pick up the phone. Oh, you want this? Okay, you got to bid 30K over.
Oh, my God. All right,
let's pencil it in.
Like, go talk to Pedro and see how many houses Pedro's crushing it. Yeah. Kara's got to step it up. And Tim's like, well,
who's moving to Charlottesville?
White people.
All right, that's true. Fair enough.
I just think of the
tiki torches.
Yeah, the tiki torches.
All right.
Sorry, we're getting political again. So Tim asks Kara, like, well, what have you been doing? And she's like, you know, practicing making babies. Ha ha ha.
And he's like, all day? She's like, well, maybe. But she does. And then they're just talking about, like, how the relationship is between them and stuff. And she mentions how she wants Guillermo to be a little more forceful in the relationship. But I feel like, a couple episodes ago, she was saying how, like, she wanted to be the one controlling things.
That's what I don't get. So, like, she admits that she's a lot to be with and wants to work on not being controlling. And she wants him to be more aggressive and sees herself as a steamroller. And I was like, but literally last episode, you were like, well, it's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you want?
Yeah, you gotta pick one or the other.
And I'm sorry to agree with her friend Tim, but he asked, like, oh, you want that in the bedroom? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah,
like, obviously it's not gonna work in real life situations because, like you said, you're a steamroller.
Right. No, 100%. And then they're just talking about, like, how she's, like, been she essentially, like, travels and moves and all this stuff, so, like, Tim is a little bit concerned about, like, he's like, well, this is a marriage. Like, this isn't a move. Like, this is a very different, like, type of decision.
Yeah, and then dumbass Tim says, like, well, I bet they won't even be together 5 years from now. And I was like, have you even met Guillermo? Because obviously it's not going to be because of him.
I will say, though, like, while they were talking and stuff, I got the feeling that Kara seems to do things just because other people tell her, like, she shouldn't do it. Or because it isn't, like, the safe thing to do. She just, like, does it because she, like, thinks it's outside the box and, like, other people aren't necessarily going to do it. So she's like, oh, well, like, I'll do it. They're telling me I can't.
She reminds me of the female version of Jabri.
I could see that a little bit, yeah. Where, she just wants to, like, prove people wrong.
Yeah, and that's what Jabri wants to do, too. So I could totally see that. And I think, you know, everyone's shocked that her and Guillermo are engaged when she's been, like, all over the world and all this stuff. And it's like, if they're in love, then let them be. Like, I don't know.
I think she has to, like, realize, though, like, what does, like, she want and what does she want for them, as opposed to, like, hearing what other people say and then just doing the opposite of what these people say.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, she's from a small city, I guess, Charlottesville. I don't really know. It's where UVA is. That's all I know. And tiki torches. But, like, now she's back and it's like people are questioning her, and instead of being like, oh, well, I love him and I want to be with him, it's all like, well, I don't know this. And it's like,
make a decision.
Do you want to be with him or not? Because if not, like,
people will.
I will be in a throuple with you and Guillermo. I'm kidding. I will say the one thing I wrote down, because I'm going to bring up the computer every single episode, is that they're having these big ass drinks, but Guillermo doesn't get a laptop. Messed up.
I bet you he gets one in the last episode.
If he does not, and if he does not get one at the tell-all, I will personally send him a laptop.
Or it'll be a wedding gift. It'll be one of the wedding gifts.
I need to know the conclusion of the laptop, because I'm going to be very, very upset. I just love that man so much.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for them for the episode. So you said you want to go to Ari and Benny last. So because of that, we'll head over to Dallas and go to Patrick and Thais.
So I like them, and now I cannot stand them.
I don't know how her. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know. I'm still like, I'm half in, I'm half out
with them in general.
Yeah,
I could see that. I don't know. I think, and I texted this to you last night when I was watching, Patrick reminds me a lot of you, so I could see why you're kind of half in, half out.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you're not like a bodybuilder that's doing roids. Let me set that record straight real quick.
No, I'm not.
But just with like the whole money stuff.
Yeah.
Like you really he really reminds me of you.
All right. No, I would probably agree with that.
Thank you.
For the most part.
Thank you. But we will get into this, because I know for a fact we have conflicting opinions about this, so right. This should be fun.
Woohoo! All right, so they're going shopping for the new house.
Yeah, because Thais is not happy in Dallas.
Even though it's a beautiful home.
And, yeah, okay, we'll get into this a little bit.
So they're looking at stuff, and Patrick wants to be, you know, really smart about how they're spending their money, considering he is paying for everything at the moment.
Yes, because she can't work.
Correct. So they're like going back and forth about a bunch of things, and Patrick's like, oh, well, like, look at the price tag. Like, no, we're not getting that. And then, like, I don't know if the salesman like overheard them or like just went to go talk to them, but he's like, how about you start with a pillow and then work your way up? And I was like, oh, that's great advice.
Okay. Well, you skipped a few things that I wrote down.
Whoops.
So I wrote, Thais wants color. And then if you did not notice, the two things she liked first were a gray couch and a white coffee table. Ma'am. Those are not colors.
Those are a little, that's a little color. It's a pop of color.
Okay.
Well, gray.
Okay. Technically, gray and white aren't colors, but whatever.
All right. And black. Yeah, whatever you're into.
Whatever.
We have a gray couch. Gray looks nice.
Gray looks great. I'm a big fan of gray. I'm just saying, if you want color, you're going to get like a purple umbrella or something. I don't know.
The blue vase.
Yes. So Patrick says that he never has really gone decor shopping, because growing up he was poor and you don't really shop for decor when you're poor.
Same.
And I was like, yes, you're very much right. And Thais wants this rug, but Patrick doesn't want to spend the money on it.
Yeah, what was it, like cowhide or something?
It was cowhide, yeah. And it was like very expensive.
Yeah.
And so they are arguing about money in the store, and Patrick says that he's spent so much money on her so far. And like, he bought her the phone and the outfits and this and the gas, which I'm like, bro, you drive a Tesla, you don't have gas, first of all. And this and that. But in my opinion, like, you know, she can't work and you are willingly spending money on her. It's not like she has asked you for these things.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So that was my whole part, is that like where I thought Thais was right, because she's not asked, she didn't ask for the iPhone. She didn't ask for the dog. She didn't ask for the clothes. Like, he just willingly bought all this stuff for her. So he can't get mad at her and like shove it in her face now.
No, that's true. I agree.
Wow. I thought we were really not going to agree on that.
No, I mean, I get it. Like, from that perspective.
But, like, I get Patrick's viewpoint, where it's, like, you don't need to spend $180 on a pillow or anything like that. But like, you can't be like, well, I'm not getting this for you because I've spent all this money on you, when she didn't even ask for that money.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
And that was his argument.
Yeah. Which shouldn't have been his argument.
Exactly.
His argument should have been, at the moment, I am the only one that's providing any sort of money.
Yes.
So we're going to be smart about what we put in our home.
And that is all he had to say. Of course, he didn't say that at all.
No, but that was all he had to do.
But the furniture guy, like you said,
that was funny.
Was dope. His name was Gustavo.
Oh, was it? Nice.
And Gustavo, they interview Gustavo, obviously. And Gustavo says he thinks they're not connected and that they don't know each other well.
Is he wrong?
No, but the fact that this furniture guy picked this up in 0.2 seconds was hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And then we have Thais, and, you know, she mentions that she doesn't think Patrick really cares about, like, her feelings or anything, which I, like, kind of see. And then Patrick, like, comes back and tells Thais, like, she can go buy the decorations when she gets her own money.
Yes.
Which, like, he shouldn't not have said that.
So
he's right that, like, he's making the money, but, like, to go back, like, the way he preferenced it was so bad.
Oh yeah, he is terrible at communication.
It's like, bro, you're a salesman and you run a sales team. Like, you should be great at communication.
It's like, I said this convo should have been had before she moved, like, about money.
Yeah, for sure.
Because this whole thing was about money, and, like, I can't, and then he throws the money at her.
That was hilarious. But even, but before that.
Yes, I know. I was jumping ahead a little bit. So, the convo turns to, she wants to know how much money he makes.
Which, to be honest, isn't really her business.
And I agree with that. I do think it's a little weird that she doesn't know how much money he makes. But at the same time, he just bought a house in Dallas. He drives a $100,000 Tesla. Like, he has gone to Brazil how many fucking times to see her?
He's wearing a $20,000 watch.
Like, he is doing everything for buying her clothes, buying her an iPhone. Like, he obviously has this money.
Yeah, and it's coming in at a decent rate.
So why do you need to know how much money he's making?
Yeah, that's not relevant. And, like, also, like, kind of what he was saying was, like, why does it matter? Like, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
And she tried to, like, spin it as, like, oh, you want to control everything because you make the money. It's like, well, you don't really need to be, like, in my, like, personal, like, bank account knowing how much money I'm bringing.
No, exactly. And, like, he brings up, like, he's like, I have bought you your fingernail, or what are these called? Nails. I bought you your nails, your eyelashes, yeah. Like, your whatever.
She has everything she could want.
To look for. Like, why do you need to know how much money I spend? Like, I don't know. To me, I'm like, hell yeah, if you're going to spend money on me, I'm not going to be like, well, how much money do you have in the bank now? Like, yeah,
if anything, I'd be like, let's slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, like, let's calm down. Like, I don't know.
Need all of these things.
But at the same time, I also find it a little strange, because if you're getting married to someone like that, like, unless you're Bilal and Shida, you're going to, like, share your finances with them, and you need to know, like, who's going to pay this bill? Oh, that's how a normal relationship works. But, like, who's going to pay this bill? Or, like, we know how much money, like, both of us make and how much money we have in the bank account. But we also aren't.
It's not like, hey, every 2 weeks I make $1,000 goes into my account. And then this week it's $2,000.
Yeah. And, like, we're never on top of each other about money. Like, I mean, but I think the only thing we actually split nowadays is the mortgage, because it's both of our house. But, like, besides that, it's like, okay, you pay this bill, I pay this bill, it evens out eventually. Like, who cares? But it's just weird to me, like, the whole money situation with them. But, you know, he says he can't trust anyone with his money and finances because of the way that he was raised. And he shouldn't have to trust anyone else with his money and finances. It's his money and finances.
Yeah. And she's living in a $1 million house, not having to do anything right now. So, like, she shouldn't be questioning, like, how much money he has or, like, where is the money coming from?
Yeah, exactly. And then she says at one point she can't be his wife because he's a strange person.
I wrote down the exact same thing. I thought that was hilarious.
It's a great line. It's a great line. I was like, wait,
but you're still with him.
Yeah, but he's a strange person.
He's a strange person and you can't marry him.
Oh my God. But like I said, so then he goes and throws his credit card and cash.
Just right on the table, right at her. Go get a fucking painting.
I know. Oh my God. He was pissed.
He was so mad.
I know. And then she gets upset that he threw money at her. And then this isn't the man that she met in Brazil. It's like, yeah, that man in Brazil probably also paid for everything. 100%. So, like, why the fuck do you care how much money he has? Just because he don't want to buy a $600 rug or $200 pillows. Like, we were talking about the pillows last night. And I was like, $200 for a pillow? Like, I don't even want to buy $20 pillows at Target. So, I don't get it.
Yeah. That's not their biggest issue, is how much the pillows cost.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we wrap up the episode and Thais is saying how she wants more say in what happens, which I agree with. But like the way both of them went about this whole conversation, like they were both wrong.
100%. They were both wrong. I mean, he is just terrible at communicating. And I do respect her for trying to argue in English because it was like this is how it should be, like,
right.
So I do respect her for that, but at the same time, like, you're both wrong. This whole money situation is just gonna tear them apart, I think.
Yeah, it definitely could. And like how she was saying, like how her dad was saying how like these American men want to like take advantage of these Brazilian women. I was like, how is he like taking advantage of you though?
That's what I wrote. I was like,
if anything, like he's providing you with like all these very nice things.
Yeah. So what I said is like, isn't it the other way around? Like if anything, she's taking advantage of him. Like she's, and like I said, she didn't ask for any of this stuff, but like, I don't think throwing money at someone, like, yeah, it's kind of fucked up to do, but like, and pretty hilarious at the same time, but like, I don't think that's taking advantage of her.
No.
So I don't know. I don't think they're gonna stay together very long, but
I think like he definitely wants to like control like things in a matter of like what they're purchasing and like what they're doing and stuff.
Yeah.
So like I get it from like that side of the thing, but I don't think he's like taking advantage of her.
Not at all. Like I, and this is where I see the resemblance of you two together, where it's like you, and he says it multiple times, he didn't grow up with money, so now that he has it, he wants to protect it. And
yeah,
I see that with you all the time. So it's like, I don't know, I guess like I interpreted this a little differently than maybe the average user, because I'm in a relationship with someone who's like that, but I've needed to adapt my spending habits, and I feel like we work very well now together with our spending, and like on, I understand your side of point or your viewpoint. There we go.
Yeah.
But, and this is like not coming off the like I had money growing up, because I definitely did not. But it's just like, it is, to me, it's understandable. Like, you want to keep your money close because you never had it.
For sure.
And Thais doesn't get that.
No. So, I mean, it is what it is. I think they'll figure it out. I think they're going to figure it out.
I think they'll get married.
Yeah.
I just don't know how long they'll stay married for.
All right. Fair enough. All right. So.
The fight.
Well, you gotta build up to that point.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Ari and Brittany. She still sings, but
yeah, she doesn't know how fighting works, how training works, like the training purposes stuff. She was like still upset about the whole like, why didn't you tell me you were fighting with a girl and all that nonsense.
Yeah, but Benny was pissed.
Yeah, he was really upset.
Because Ari embarrassed him, which I don't blame him. I would be pissed too.
Hell yeah.
Like, you're just training, and then your fiance, like, storms in her weird-ass Fabletics outfit and is, like, yelling at the girl for wearing makeup while at the gym. Like, I don't get that at all.
Yeah, she was just, like, on another level about it.
Yeah.
Just, so, like, super upset for no reason.
So they're, like, talking about it, and Ari's like, well, you know, you need to tell me, like,
everything.
And Benny's like, well, I don't want to tell you because it would upset you. And she's like, well, that's part of the problem. Like, you need to tell me even if it's gonna upset me. And it's like, but I think he's like trying to avoid conflict, and you're just like 100%. Asking for it.
Yeah, she's saying like he doesn't know how to communicate and how he has to be honest and has to tell her everything.
Yeah. And I wrote, like, she is somehow turning this around, that this is Benny's fault, that she got mad about training with Melissa. And I'm like, that's gaslighting 101.
Yeah, it's
like,
your fault I'm this way.
Yeah. It's like, what? Ma'am, I don't think you're right about this at all.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
And, like, Ari's all stressed, and, like, Benny finally is, like, trying to make her feel better. I'm like, this is the first time I think I've ever seen them communicate and, like, not have it become a stupid-ass fight between them.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I will say, though, Avi was there. Cutie patootie. So cute. They do a little family hug. It was really cute. When they're not fighting, they're a cute ass family, which is very rare. So,
but yeah, so we get that, and then we have, you know, we kind of pan over to Benny's side of everything, and he's saying, like, the fight and everything, how, you know, this is what he's been dreaming for, this is everything he's wanted. And Ari's, like, super afraid and wishes Benny wouldn't do it. And her dad isn't going because he doesn't believe in fighting, and, like, all the injuries and all the negativity, like, side of things.
Yeah, so, like, Ari wants to support his dream, but she doesn't want him to become an MMA fighter.
It's like, this is his dream, though.
It's his dream. And, like, you know, he even says multiple times this is his American dream to fight MMA. But yeah, like, her dad doesn't want to go. He's a doctor and, like, really, like, scared that he's going to get hurt.
Yeah, Ari even said, like, she's just super afraid that, like, he's going to get severely hurt or die in the ring.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's great. But the OG is Janice. The MVP. The real MVP.
Janice was excited.
Janice was pumped. I mean,
she was nervous.
She was nervous. I love that she tells Ari that she, like, scoped out the ambulance. Yeah.
She's like, I wanted to make sure, like, if anything went wrong.
But I love her and Benny's relationship. Like, when she walks in, he's, like, all excited. He calls her mom.
Yeah,
like,
oh, hi, mom. Hi, mom.
And they, like, hug. And then he's like, oh, I love you. And, like, oh, my God. Love Benny and Janice. We can get rid of Ari and, like, just have a show on them, too. I'm totally fine with it.
But yeah, so then we get to the fight. So Benny, the 145 weight class.
Featherweight.
My guy is light.
I know. It's crazy.
I mean, he's kind of short, I think, from, like, the way the camera, like, positions it and stuff. He's got to be, like, 5'5", maybe 5'6".
I mean, and, like, Ari seems really short, and they almost seem, like, the same height. So I think he's
I would say, like, around, like, 5'5", 5'6", because he's, like, he's built.
Oh, he's jacked.
So, like, the fact that that guy's 145, like, he's got to be short.
Yeah, he was jacked. I don't know if you noticed when he was going to the octagon.
Oh, I noticed.
Oh, I figured you did. I was like, of course. Fucking I.
What?
Angela.
Oh, no, I didn't. That's not what I was referring to, but no, I didn't even catch that.
She was in two parts in the background.
Didn't even notice.
Oh my God.
I thought you were talking about how dope he looked with the Ethiopian flag.
I mean,
flag.
He didn't look dope as fuck. He looked dope as fuck. I love that the Ari had draped, like, the other flag. Like, I loved how Ethiopian it was.
Yeah,
no,
that's
but
what
Angela
I thought you were
was
talking
in the
about.
Back. No, Angela was in the background.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about how cool he looked with the Ethiopian flag and, like, how he was introduced and stuff. Because, like, that was cool.
Yeah, he looked really cool. And I like that he, like, brought his culture into it. And, like, you know, Ari had Ethiopian flags, like, little ones on the sticks and stuff. Like,
yeah.
It was really, really cool. So, the fight. We ready to talk about this?
Yeah, so the bell rings.
The bell rings.
And Vinny comes flying out.
Flying.
With the flying knee.
Oh, tries, my God.
Tries to end it in 1 second.
And obviously it misses.
The guy who was fighting, though, looked like a 40-year-old man balding.
Yeah. I was
kind of fat.
I was like, what is happening right now? It really reminded me of, I don't know if you had these in Rhode Island, but, the golden gloves.
Yeah, we have golden gloves.
Yeah. So, that's what it reminded me of, a local fight kind of thing. I did notice that
we had some famous boxers, right?
I did realize though during the fight that Benny needs to be a little bit more disciplined.
Yeah, yeah.
He was very aggressive and stuff, which I get. And they're quick fights. I think they're three rounds, 3 minutes each. But he was very quick to the point. However,
ended that fight in 33 seconds.
33 seconds
with the rear naked choke.
Let's go, Benny. I was proud of him.
He, barely sweat.
Yeah. And then he does this, dope-ass backflip off the octagon.
That was fresh.
And his trainer...
Charles
pumped.
Yeah, Charles was super excited. He thinks Benny, has a lot of talent and he can really go far, if he puts his mind and energy to this.
Yeah, and I do think Benny has the talent. I'm interested to see how his career goes. Ari doesn't ever want to go to another fight. I don't even think she watched this fight at all.
Yeah, she was watching through her hands. seeing part of a scary movie where you're watching through your hands or you're watching part of it.
Yeah,
but she was happy that he won.
Oh yeah, and she ends up going in the octagon and he picks her up and it was a very sweet moment between them, and I was wow, I could totally see them continuing to be together.
I just wish he had started this maybe 5 or 6 years ago, when he was in his 20s still.
What, MMA?
Yeah.
I mean, he might have in Ethiopia. We don't know.
No, he has the background and stuff, but I'm saying professionally, in the U.S. Professionally in the U.S., in UFC, going on that track. Because now,
he's
in...
he?
No, I know. I'm saying I wish he could have.
Oh, yeah. Him and Ari been together for 5 years.
Yeah,
God
bring
almighty.
Him over originally.
True. But he won, so I'm very pumped for him.
Yeah.
But that was about it this episode.
Yeah, it was a lot though. We had a little bit of everything, which was good.
Miss anything?
No, that was it. No, even Muhammad this episode. So hopefully they definitely come back next week.
Which, by the way, I'm going to have
a lot
of opinions. It has to be done.
I think it's done.
There's no freaking way that they're still together.
If I was her, I'd be get the F out.
Everything he says is just super disrespectful.
It's just rude, and it goes back to the Bilal thing. He's trying to use his religion to justify everything.
Yeah, okay, so in the previews, they're at the gym. And Io is talking about how, she's still open to having more kids. And Muhammad pretty much tells her that he's not going to let her influence the child's religion. And if the child isn't Muslim, he's just going to go back to Egypt. He would rather not have a child at all.
Yeah. It's just not going to work. There's too many things going on. There's too many red flags, too many variables, too many things they disagree on. It's just not going to work
It can't work out. For, the sake of humanity, it can't work out.
But, yeah, so that'll be interesting. And, I mean, I think everybody else, we're kind of moving towards, the wedding direction and where we really start getting some good arguments and some good episodes.
Yeah, so in the next time on, Emily and Kobe finally buys Emily a ring.
Yep.
Which then she miraculously feels bad that she bought her own ring.
Stupid.
Who else were in the previews? Not Kiara and Guillermo, nor Benny and Ari.
So Jabri and Miona, probably then. And Patrick and Thais.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's probably not a big deal.
Wow. But yeah, so we'll start getting to the wedding episodes and seeing if some of these couples are really going to make it or not.
Yeah.
Seems like we know a couple that will and a couple that won't.
I know. I don't know. I feel like most of them are going to get married.
Usually we get two or three? We usually get three.
No, we usually get all of them.
Really? And then they just all end up in divorce?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, that's fair.
I think the last 90 day, they all got married in the mid, literally the start of COVID.
Yeah, I mean, I could pretty much see all of them getting married minus even Muhammad.
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah,
I do agree with that. But we thank you for listening. Sorry this episode is a little late. I was on a plane back from New York and it was the worst ride of my life. So
yeah, you hear that, JetBlue?
Yeah, I'm flying all the way to the Bahamas
just to land in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, made no sense at all to then fly all the way to the Everglades to then land in Fort Lauderdale. Don't get me started. But thank you for listening. We will be eventually recording a pod on the family Chantel. We just honestly have not had any time to do it. But we should be back on a regular schedule, I would say, in the next week.
Yes.
I would say the next episode will be out either Monday morning or Monday night. And then we will more than likely be recording an episode on the family Chantel Monday night, and it should be out Tuesday night, I would say, probably, because yeah, Family Chantel is on Monday night. But thank you for listening. I'm still having a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
And I know this episode's rather long, so thank you for sticking it out, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again. See y'all next week.
Bye.